This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is It Was a Thing on TV. Total Red Man has ever done something like this to me.
It's a killer! Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the dregs of humanity!
Episode 157, submission number 1871, Mockingbird Lane. Mockingbird Lane is an unsold pilot that aired on NBC on October 26, 2012.
Hi, your humble editor here. I feel we need an early palate cleanser. You're going to need it eventually. So here's the good version of the Munsters, you know, the original version.
With this idea, let's do a serious reboot of the Munsters.
A gritty reboot of the Munsters. And, you know, let's have everything with gravitas.
What is your favorite word, Kiefer? Latin, gravitas.
And because Brian Fuller is involved, let's have it be incredibly dark.
I know this was probably around the time Jeff Zucker left NBC, so you know what? I'm just going to blame him for it.
Okay. But yeah, we all remember the Munsters. We all grew up with the reruns of both seasons of the show. It was 60s camp at its finest. About a loving but quite monstrous suburban family. We have Herman, the big-hearted Frankenstein's monster. His wife, Lily, who is supposed to be his bride, but
yeah,
we don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, the bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah, she is now in the series and the eventual reboot, which we will talk about some other time, she is supposed to be the bride of Frankenstein. Their son, Eddie, who is a wolfman.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the wolfman.
Their niece, Marilyn, who is supposed to be a scream queen.
Oh, I get it, because she's the normal one.
Yeah, I actually did research on the Munsters a long time ago, and Marilyn was supposed to be the scream queen. She was basically the Janet Leigh in Psycho.
Oh, okay.
And Grandpa, and if you don't know who Grandpa Munster is, what podcast are you even listening to?
We talked about Grandpa Munster in the 1-900 Numbers episode.
We sure did. We miss you, Al Lewis.
Oh, yeah. The Junior Vampires of America. Where you listened as Grandpa Munster told a crappy story for 10 minutes while your parents yelled at you a month later about the phone bill.
Yep. And, of course, their pet dragon, Spot, that lived underneath the stairs. We have all of those people, and the fact of the matter is that aside from the fact that they're all sort of movie monster pastiches, they were just your average, loving, caring American family.
Yeah.
With the pet dragon that lives underneath the stairs.
Named Spot.
In 2012, Brian Fuller decided, you know what? To hell with this! We're gonna make it incredibly gothic. We're pretty much going to turn up the monster factor. Nuts to the fact that they're a loving family. I mean, there are still going to be a loving family. But this isn't going to be your grandpa's Munsters. I guess that was the problem to start with. Because one of the first things you see in the pilot after the opening titles was supposed to be a Frankenstein's monster shadow. But I'll tell you something. Frankenstein's monster is back, and he never looked so sexy.
Woo!
Yeah, but he still has the same problems that any Frankenstein's monster has. But we'll talk about that when we talk about the episode. Let's talk about the actual cast here. And in keeping with the modern interpretation of the Frankenstein monster, just being made out of human parts that somehow come together to create something incredibly sexy, he looks nothing like Boris Karloff.
No.
He looked nothing like Fred Gwynne.
He looked nothing like Fred Gwynne. He looked nothing like John Shuck.
That's insulting to John Shuck.
Yeah.
Hey, John Shuck's a legend around these parts.
He
is. He's like in the second or third tier. You know, we've got McLean Stevenson at the top, and then we've got a number of people in that second tier. He's in that second, third tier.
He was in the New Adventures of Pippi Longstocking, for Christ's sake.
Oh, yeah. One of my all-time favorites movies.
Yeah. You know what Pippi grew up to be?
Oh, yeah. I know what Pippi grew up to be. We know. We're not going to say it, but we know. We know. We know what she did.
Mm-hmm. Herman Munster was played by the incredibly good-looking Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, and if you don't know who Jerry O'Connell is, what universe are you in?
Jerry O'Connell!
It's Jerry friggin' O'Connell!
Jerry O'Connell, the pride of New York University, for crying out tears.
Stand by me, Sliders!
My Secret Identity!
Come on!
Batman and, the Brain... And,
wait. Andy's got a hot wife.
And he's got a hot wife!
Yeah, he goes to bed every night with Rebecca Romijn. Life is great for Jerry O'Connell.
Life is great for Jerry O'Connell. This is just a speed bump on his road to the top, ladies and gentlemen. He should get his own game show reboot on ABC. Anyway, again, Jerry O'Connell plays Herman Munster, a Frankenstein's monster who, and this is going to become a problem in this particular pilot, he loves too much.
Oh.
He's a nice guy. He's intelligent. He's nice. He's a caring father.
Well, Herman on the original show was a nice, caring father.
Yeah.
But one thing that Jerry O'Connell's Herman Munster didn't come across as was aloof, like Fred Gwynne and like John Shuck.
Yeah. He basically knew he was not the typical oaf father.
He was a very refined.
He was more Hank Hill and less Homer Simpson. Well, a refined version of Hank Hill.
Okay, I can buy that.
Okay. His wife, hot Frankenstein needs a hot wife. And his wife is played by Portia de Rossi. And Lily Munster, in this particular version, is played as a vamp. No, seriously. She's a vampire.
Yeah.
She's not the bride of Frankenstein. She's actually a vampire. And unlike Grandpa, she tries very hard, I might add, not to attack anyone. Which, you know, it sort of lines up with the original Lily Munster, except they got the creatures wrong. Playing the niece, Marilyn, is Charity Wakefield, which you remember from the 2016 Christmas special on Doctor Who, The Return of Dr. Mysterio.
Oh, yeah, the superhero episode.
Yeah, the superhero episode where Justin Chatwin, who played Goku in the Dragon Ball movie, which we were going to cover in the Patreon podcast. It was a thing at the movies. I just wanted to...
Just does not listen to the doctor's advice.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to be a superhero.
Oh, dear. But Charity Wakefield, she plays Marilyn, and like the original, she is normal.
She's a normie.
She looks and acts normal. She's the voice of sanity, and much to Grandpa's chagrin, she likes life on Mockingbird Lane.
Why? I don't know.
And speaking of... Oh, wait. We'll get to Grandpa, but next we're going to get to Little Eddie Munster, played by Mason Cook, who you may remember as Cecil Wilson in Spy Kids All the Time in the World.
Get it? All the Time in the World. It's a reference to the song by Louis Armstrong in Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
And then he also played Ray on Speechless. So he spent the better part of his childhood on ABC, I guess.
Yeah, he also played Tyler on The Goldbergs. I believe one of the main character's classmates.
Okay.
Yeah. He played Tyler in 4 episodes, and I'm not a big Goldbergs fan, sadly, but the episodes I've seen, he was in the president's fitness test back in 2014. So, yeah, he's outgrown that role, though, because, you know, it's supposed to be a high school.
Yeah. You
know, so.
And then, now, Eddie, in this version, now, in the original Munsters, Eddie is well aware of his werewolf status. In this version... Imagine if being a werewolf was akin to puberty. Because he looks like a normal kid, and all of a sudden, he goes attacking people. And in fact, this whole show began as a camping trip went wrong, basically.
A camping trip went wrong, you say?
A camping trip that goes horribly, horribly wrong.
I'm staying out of this.
But nobody... tells him that he's a werewolf until the very end. He's like, and every time the full moon comes and he attacks something, his family says they have to move because this place is being infested with baby bears.
What?
Yeah, they blame the wolfman attacks on baby bears.
Yeah, this is not your Twilight werewolf. This werewolf bites back. And then there's Grandpa. Is it the incredibly savvy Al Lewis? Nope. Is it the somewhat savvy but nowhere near Al Lewis Howard Morton? Nope.
But they got a big name
for
this. They
got the money. They got the money shot on this one.
Yeah.
They got Eddie freaking Izzard.
Yeah. That's a big name for this pilot.
It's a big name. And if you don't know who Eddie Izzard is, what podcast are you even listening to?
It's a big name, but really? Playing Grandpa? He doesn't look that old.
He's not that old. And his character would have to be changed accordingly. This Grandpa's played a lot darker. Now, normally, Grandpa just, you know, wanted to... cavort and have a good time and be a dirty old man. Yeah, this grandpa likes to murder people. And
oh, no!
Yeah. In fact, most of the episode centers around grandpa satisfying his urges, let's say.
No.
Not that way, people.
But
he wants to eat people.
No, that makes it even worse.
No, that makes him a cannibal. No.
No, he's not a cannibal. He's a vampire.
It doesn't make this any better. No.
But there is sort of a good side to Grandpa in that he begrudgingly accepts the rest of his family.
Okay.
So, yay?
Yeah.
And there's also a dragon named Spot, but he lives on the roof instead of the stairs.
Okay.
So, NBC announced the pilot in January 2012, and they also announced that the show would take on a more modern tone, and that the Munsters would look more like regular people. And they announced that the show would be handed over to Brian Fuller. Who, by the way, you look at his CV, he has a type. We have Dead Like Me, Wonderfalls, future entry, Pushing Daisies, another future entry, and Hannibal.
Okay, so we should have known that this is not going to be a comedy reboot.
Well, it's going to be a dark comedy reboot.
Well, not okay. I mean, more in the traditional sense, a la the original.
It's not going to be like a single. It's not going to be like. It's going to be more like a single camera, not a multi camera.
Well, but also I'm talking about in a traditional sense to the original Munsters and also the Munsters today being, let's say, sitcom-y.
Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, they had announced that Mariana Clavino was going to play Lily. And, of course, you know her best as Lorena Ball from True Blood and Perry Westmore from Future Entry Devious Maids. But she was let out of her contract to star on Devious Maids. And Portia de Rossi was brought in. Oh, did we mention Portia de Rossi?
Yeah, we did. You okay. Mentioned her.
Okay, cool.
We all know what Portia de Rossi is most famous for being.
Well, the two things.
Yeah.
Arrested Development and Mrs. Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes.
And also Future Entry Nick Freno Licensed Teacher.
Oh, yeah. Nick Freno Licensed Teacher.
With the late, great Mitch Mullaney.
Oh, yeah. That was a great show.
Oh, yeah, totally.
No, seriously, it was a great show.
It was incredible. Then they made it sort of weird in the second season.
Oh, yeah, and then knowing.
But we'll talk about that. We will talk about that. So, what happened at 1313 Mockingbird Lane? Well, before we figure that one out, we have to go back a bit to, like I said before, a camping trip gone horribly, horribly wrong. As there's just a bunch of scouts and a family just camping it up, camp style. Next thing you know, a wolf shows up. And the next day, in the morning, in the place where the wolf went to sleep, we find a young boy wearing nothing but the clothes God gave him. He was naked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we fast forward to Mockingbird Lane, where Marilyn is actually looking at the house across the street from the house that the realtor is showing. And that would be 1313 Mockingbird Lane, somewhere in San Francisco. And she immediately falls in love with it, never mind the fact that a hobo was murdered in it.
Well, also, remember, that house was being torn down, essentially.
Yeah, it was being torn down, but Marilyn was like, we'll take it! And so, in come the rest of the family. Herman and Lily still haven't told Eddie that the bear attack from previously was actually Eddie. Now, Grandpa and Marilyn, they both want to tell him of that he is indeed a werewolf, but Herman and Lily want to wait and have the talk, which is, you know what? Does this remind you of anything? Meanwhile, Eddie really wants to have the talk because he thinks something's wrong with him and he's wondering why they have to move again and why they always have to move every time there's a full moon out. And he's genuinely afraid that he's going to become a carnivorous monster like his mom and his grandpa. He wants to be a vegetarian, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Meanwhile, Herman is out on a walk, just enjoying the new place, and something happens. He enjoys it a little too much, and his heart breaks, and he dies.
What?
It's a comedy!
He had a Herb Abrams happen to him?
Yeah, he enjoys it a little too much, his heart literally breaks, and he dies. The next thing he knows, he wakes up in Grandpa's basement, strapped to what looks to be a gurney, and his chest cavity is opened up. Oh yeah, and his heart was replaced with another heart, because the heart that Herman already has, his last remaining original part, I should say, he's kind of attached to it. But Grandpa warns him, you need a heart replacement or else you're done, son. Now, here's the deal. I could get a heart replacement, but I gotta kill somebody. You get a heart, I get something to eat, everybody wins.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Gosh, this is dark.
Yeah. It's a Brian Fuller joke. What did you expect? Okay, so Herman says that he's kind of attached to his old heart, so quite begrudgingly, Grandpa decides to put the heart back in him. But Grandpa still has to eat something. Or somebody. Or, yeah, somebody. So Marilyn and Grandpa decide to go out and meet the neighbors. Grandpa insists on making cookies for the neighbors. What the neighbors don't know is that the cookies were sort of a jammy dodger sort of scenario. But instead of jam, Grandpa has drops of his own blood. So he can, you know, mind control his neighbors. Well, it's a step up from what he really wanted to do with his neighbors. He wanted to eat his neighbors. But instead, he just mind controls them. Gets them to paint the house. While Herman is talking to Grandpa about how do you solve a problem like Eddie. And meanwhile, the neighbors decide we're going to paint the house. And by decide, I mean Grandpa tells him to paint the house. He falls to his death. And what does Herman do? Instead of getting the heart, grabbing the heart and giving it to Grandpa, he calls 911 and the ambulance jumps him back to life. Meanwhile, in a B plot, Lily and Herman want Eddie to join up with the, I guess we're going to call this the Scouts, the Wildlife Explorer, the Scout Paralogue of Mockingbird Lane, the Wildlife Explorers. And one thing they have to do is sort of jerry-rig some sort of backstory because Eddie wasn't a wildlife explorer. They're just trying to get him in. So while they're out, you know, getting some sort of patch as a wildlife explorer, Grandpa goes in full-on bat mode and eats a deer right in front of Eddie. And Eddie is not having any of it. He doesn't want to be the monster that Grandpa or Lily is. You know, Herman and Lily are eventually going to have the talk with Eddie. I'm just saying. But Grandpa says, we still have to find you a heart. So, what about his scoutmaster, Steve? And again, Herman gets a heart. Grandpa gets something to eat. Everybody wins. His scoutmaster, Steve, who, by the way, is played by Cheyenne Jackson, who is known more for his work on Broadway, is a widower and has a heart that's just young enough. Grandpa wants to kill him. He can feed off his blood. Herman can get a new heart. Herman doesn't want his heart. He's happy with his own heart. Thank you very much. And as it would happen, Steve is actually Marilyn's date for dinner. And they're having dinner in the family living room. Uh-oh. And the talk gets really, really awkward, where Eddie decides he wants to be a vegetarian, and Grandpa decides he wants to curb his urges. In fact, the episode ends when Grandpa goes full-on bat mode. Marilyn tries to restrain him and ends up pushing Steve down the staircase to the basement, where he dies. Whether he dies in the fall or dies because Grandpa ate him, well, we'll leave that to your own imagination. But the next thing you know, Herman is having the talk with Eddie, and they come to a really tender moment and a really good understanding when Herman loves Eddie too much, and his heart breaks and he dies again. He wakes up, strapped to a gurney, and beating with Steve's heart. Now, this was sort of a sticking point because Herman's afraid of everything changing. Eddie's becoming a man, and he's losing his last original part. After having the talk with Herman and Lily, Eddie sort of understands where he is and accepts the fact that 28 days out of the month, he could be a vegetarian, but that one night when the moon is at its fullest, he cannot control his urges. Luckily, Herman and Lily have just the solution. A family pet to watch after him when he goes Wolfman mode. A dragon. So what went wrong? Other than beginning, middle, end. Well, they tested this out on October 26th, and they found out that 5.47 million American viewers watched it, and it had a 1.55 rating in the demo, which, let's be honest, in 2021, most shows would kill for that sort of number.
Yeah.
No, kill, because, you know, Brian Fuller.
Oh, jeez.
But ultimately, it came down to Robert Greenblatt saying this: "We just decided that it didn't hold together well enough to yield a series. It looked beautiful and original and creative, but it just all ultimately didn't come together. It just didn't ultimately creatively all work. We felt great about it, the cast, but we tried to make it not just a sitcom. We tried to make it an hour, which ultimately has more dramatic weight than a half hour. It's hard to calibrate how much weirdness versus supernatural versus family story. I just think we didn't get the mix right."
Oh, gee, you think?
Oh, that... My God, the legal.
Oh, by the way, did we mention who directed this pilot?
The director was... Are you ready for this? Bryan Singer.
And the less said about Bryan Singer, the better.
That's some bad hat, Harry. I can tell you right now, on television, Bryan Singer did only one good thing on television.
What is that?
House.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it seems like the show, watching it back, did not know what it wanted to be. Whereas the original show knew exactly what it wanted to be. A typical American family made up of movie monsters. They basically wanted to go all in on the whole monster thing. And ultimately, it was like, okay, you wanted to go all in, fine. But when you go all in and you have Eddie Izzard playing Grandpa, you realize you have to go all the way in.
Yeah, it's like you can't be serious if you have him in this pilot.
Yeah. But, you know, say what you will, but it did give Eddie Izzard a shot at, what's the name?
Serious Fair.
Yeah, that serio-comedic fare. And it's not like Eddie Izzard didn't do serio-comic roles before, because he did The Riches.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he also did Day of the Trippids. I think it was for the BBC that... It was for the BBC, so... It's not like he didn't do that sort of thing already. So there you go. And I should say that, and let me tell you something here, I was today years old when I learned that Eddie Izzard had transitioned.
Oh yeah, I knew that for a while, like a month.
She now prefers she and her pronouns, but doesn't mind he and him. So if
so it doesn't matter what we say. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
That's cool.
Cool. So all of this come together. Guys, you've been listening to me prattle on about this steaming pile of pilot here.
I could not get past like 3 minutes of this on Daily Motion. I tapped out.
Oh, wow. That bad, huh?
Yeah. It was as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah, I remember watching this when it originally aired, and the way it was sold was as a reboot of the Munsters. So immediately in my head, okay, it's going to be more towards a sitcom. And immediately right off the bat, when you have the scout camping scene and you have Eddie waking up the next morning in full undress because he was a werewolf. Yeah, that really is not Munster's humor or even close to humorous. I tapped out pretty early when it originally aired.
Yeah. You know what I would rather do than this?
What's that?
Play the Munster's pinball table.
Ooh!
Oh, that
you like you very much.
There's another entry for it was a pinball machine.
Yeah. It came out a couple years ago from Stern. I actually played it at one of the bars around here at Eastport, Long Island, a while back.
That's cool.
That is cool. You know what would have been a really cool thing? I believe they had a Munster slot machine.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a
Munster slot machine. Yeah, I remember seeing it in Vegas a while back, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Get all the slot machines. Although, I gotta say, probably not as good as the one slot machine that has Sarah Priebus on it. I'm not even joking! There's a dating slot machine game that has Sarah Priebus in it.
How come she hasn't done television?
I know, right?
Come on, Sarah.
Cast Sarah Priebus in something.
Like, you got a freaking good talent there. And honestly, I heard her sing. She can blow. She can blow.
Oh yeah! No! Not no!
No! She has pipes on her.
She has pipes that make her sing.
Yes,
that's what we mean. Dirty little people.
Get your mind out of the gutter, you.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah. So what do we have to say about Mockingbird Lane?
Oh God! It was a sexed up version of the Munsters. But somebody forgot to put the love and the heart. And in 2012, ultimately, it was a thing on TV.
It was.
Oh, no, it had the heart. It clearly went back into Herman Munster's little zippered compartment chest.
Tish! Mike, you know what? You get points for that.
Okay, thank you. But yeah, it made for a good one-off around Halloween. I mean, the timing was impeccable, but yeah, the less said about it, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I do have something I want to show you guys.
What?
We're going to wash that stench of Mockingbird Lane out of your mouth with a little bit of eBay Prices Right. Let's go.
No, that's not going to wash the taste out.
I don't want to do this.
This is going to enhance it.
Something that 1313 Mockingbird Lane didn't have. The Munster Coach.
What do you mean?
We are bidding on the Munster Coach toy from 1964.
What is a Munster's Coach toy?
It's a toy based off the family car.
Okay, and it's made by a company called Coach.
No, it's made by AMT, you know.
Why is it called the Coach toy?
It's the Munster Coach.
Have you never heard of a vehicle called a coach?
Oh, okay. All right. I was confused. I was thinking a company made it or Craig T. Nelson made it. I don't know.
No.
Could you imagine if Craig T. Nelson made a toy?
That would actually be pretty cool, actually.
Could you imagine Craig T. Nelson as Herman Munster?
Oh, that would be awesome. That would have been awesome.
That would have been epic. Epic!
And you
Epic.
Know he has the chops because he was in Poltergeist.
And you know who could play the niece Marilyn?
Who?
Sarah Priebus.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. Oh, we just made a whole reboot.
We just made a whole reboot.
All we need to do is find an Eddie, a grandpa, and a Lily, and we're good to go.
We're good to go.
Not Billie Piper, she's busy. Anyway.
Oh yeah.
She's got that
show.
Yep. I Hate Susie. By the way, really good show, I Hate Susie. Anywho, the AMT Munster Coach toy from 1964, vintage toy, very nice shape with minimal wear, box is original and all parts are present. The Coach toy is great, appears complete, and the only wear is some of the silver finishing is wearing off. Rare to find and sells the pieces to make the motor noise.
Okay.
Mike, you lasted the longest out of the three of us, so...
Oh, thank you? I'm going to go $249.
Okay, Greg?
No, I'm gonna say it right now. One penny.
No.
I'm not going to $1. I'm not going to $1. I'm going to one penny him.
It has more value than... Okay, Chico, give us the price.
Okay. The actual buy-it-now price for the Munsters Coach car toy from 1964 from AMT. Oh, God, you guys were so off. He's asking for $1,500.
Oh,
I knew my $249 was realistic. I knew Greg was out there.
I'm like, this guy, you know what? No, I'm not going to do it.
Why would anyone pay for that?
The kitsch value, I don't know. It's not even in mint condition.
I've been to hobby shops. I guarantee you they sell it for less than $1,500.
It's like, no.
Well, you got to remember, there's got to be a little bit of a rarity factor because the show...
It is rare. Seasons. It is rare.
And also AMT, I've never heard of as a maker.
AMT is what used to be Ertl.
Is that the company that made the model kits for the Enterprise on Star Trek?
Yes.
Yeah,
aluminum model toys. Yes.
Yes, that's made famous on that episode of The Toys That Made Us on Star Trek. Okay.
I love that show.
Well, that model kit's awesome if you've ever seen a picture of it.
It is.
I still say that my bid was a little more realistic. I actually thought it might be maybe $500, but $1,500, no. No, 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 no. It's not that rare.
No.
Yeah.
All right, let's forget about all this stuff about AMT model kits, although I would like to have an AMT model kit of the Enterprise. It's sick.
That would be so sick.
Yeah, it is. Wow!
The first thing you do, Eddie, is to address the ball. Hello, ball. That's a joke, Eddie.
Oh, sorry.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Friday on Benson, what's the governor up to now? Ben.
Wasn't Buddies is back.
You asked for it.
You got it.
It is the show that would not die.
Next.
Hello, I'm James Coburn. I know you'll be joining me in the dark room.
James Coburn hosts stories of mystery and suspense, spine-tingling twists and turns.
You've done it for me!
Beware of the stories that scare dark room.
Watch Friday night starting at 8 here on ABC.
If only you could hear what people think.
Wow, I'd sure like to borrow her detergent.
Not bad. But he's scratching his head. Could be dandruff.
Maybe we could get our towels mixed up.
I believe that's my machine.
You may not think you have dandruff, but that little itch could be showing that you do. When you use Head & Shoulders shampoo, Head & Shoulders handles that little itch. So all that shows is hair that's soft and shiny clean.
Well, that's an improvement.
Is this your towel?
Try Head & Shoulders shampoo.
Or mine.
And show off your hair, not the itch of dandruff, in regular and conditioning formulas.
Weekdays at 2, join host Bill Cullen for the action, suspense, and the really big prizes on The Joker's Wild. Then at 2:30, the fun can't be beat when Wink Martindale brings you Tic-Tac-Doe. At 3, join Jim Lang and his daily lineup of romantic hopefuls on The Dating Game. And then at 3:30, Bob Eubanks brings you more romantic fun and games. It's The Newlywed Game. A solid 2 hours of game show excitement, weekdays beginning at 2 on Channel 9.
What kind of movies do you like? Comedy, romance, drama, action, adventure, thrillers? I'll bet you have your favorites. But the truth is, you probably like all these kinds of movies at one time or another. Hi, I'm Lauren Graham, and I'm here on the Movie Channel Free Movie-Thon to talk about variety. You know, they say it's the spice of life, but it's the spice of movies, too, kind of. And a wide variety of movies is what makes the Movie Channel such a great channel. If you're like most people, you like a little of this, a little of that, a drama here, a comedy there, maybe a horror movie once in a while, the Movie Channel is perfect for you. We mix it up here on the Movie Channel with lots and lots of movies, more than 120 different movies every month. There's such a wide variety that you can always see something new, something different, something fresh every month. And the best time to subscribe to the Movie Channel is right now, during this free movie-thon when we offer a special money-saving deal. So call the 800 number on your screen and subscribe to the Movie Channel now.
Wednesday.
You've been wrong. Who's going to protect us when the bad guys get back?
It's Mike to the rescue, growing pains. Then.
Thanks.
Head of the class goes computer dating.
How come everybody's getting fixed up except for me?
There's not that many girls out there who like Mr. Rogers.
After Growing Pains, Wednesday.
Ah. Ahoy, mateys. I'm Larry Bud Melman, reminding you that Wednesday's a Song of the Sea Day on all Melman buses. Welcome aboard for all the shrimp and fish sticks you can chow down. Not to mention our bottomless chest of tartar sauce. So don't be a landlubber. See the world. Set sail on a Melman bus.
Back to the show. Episode 158, submission 1733. High School USA, the 1983 TV movie. High School USA, the 1983 TV movie, was a made for that aired on NBC the night of October 16th, 1983.
A one, a two, three, four.
Guys, as I said in our last two episodes, if we had an It Was a Thing on TV style Avengers event, this would be the episode.
Yes. 157 episodes. It all comes down to this. The only thing this movie did not have was Charles Stiles, Mystery Diners.
Oh, yeah. It would have been amazing if somehow Charles Stiles' Mystery Diners borrowed Ed Begley Jr.'s tortoise that runs on vegetable oil and appeared in this.
We haven't talked about the TARDIS that runs on vegetable oil in some time.
Oh, yeah.
No, we haven't.
Yeah. I bet Ed Begley was probably too busy murdering people in San Francisco to be in this.
Yeah.
Well, no, he would have been on St. Elsewhere at the time.
Oh, yeah.
But he could have been on because St. Elsewhere was on NBC, just like this movie, and just like seemingly like 90% of the cast.
Yeah, 90% right? of the cast in this movie are on NBC shows.
Oh,
which
yes.
we'll get to. Okay, Chico, let's talk about the cast in this movie.
Oh, God. This was a star-studded affair here. Playing the role of J.J. Matters, the sort of main character Zach Morris prototype, Michael J. Fox.
Ooh, very good call there. Zach Morris prototype.
Well, that's the only thing I can think of, was the Zach Morris prototype.
But no, he really, especially early in the movie, really came across as a Zach Morris type.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And also, this is 1983. Second season of Family Ties has just started. And he is starting to blow up right now.
He's starting to blow up, and he would be 2 years away from the movie to do it.
Back to the Future. But remember, Chico.
I'm remembering.
Michael J. Fox was not the original actor for Marty McFly.
No. They couldn't get Michael J. Fox out of the contract for Family Ties, so they cast Eric Stoltz, who, by the way, turned out to be a very bad choice indeed.
Yes, yeah, so much so that Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale and Steven Spielberg practically begged Gary David Goldberg to let Michael J. Fox in the movie. And they did. And the rest is history.
Yeah. Now, there's a movie that's right for a reboot. Do not reboot Back to the Future.
Unless it's a TV series.
Unless it's a TV series.
I'd even say don't touch it at all.
Yeah, it'd probably be better off. The closest we'll ever get is probably that Telltale game that came out like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That's pretty much Back to the Future 4.
And playing the girl that Michael J. Fox has his eye on is Nancy McKeon.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Joe from the Facts of Life, baby.
Yep. Although she looks weird without her leather jacket on.
It does. It does look weird.
I had to adjust my poor 80s brain.
It is so weird to see Nancy McKeon as, like, a normal 80s girl at the time.
And then we're just going to gloss over some of the names, but, oh, God, these names. Let me tell you something. Playing Archie Feld, the shy, dim-witted guy in suspenders. Michael J. Fox's dad from Back to the Future, Crispin Glover.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
They're the same age, and they go to the same high school, which is not weird at all. It's a little weird.
It is.
Just a little weird.
In retrospect, it's a little weird, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Playing a role, a blink and you'll miss it role, as Mr. Girardi. You ready for this?
Oh, yeah, we're ready for this.
Lumpy himself, Frank Bank.
And he's not the only person from that Leave It to Beaver week on Magic Game Hollywood Squares that's in this movie.
Hardly.
Nope. Not the only person.
I mean, and we mentioned this before we started recording, even though he had literally a blink and you'll miss it role, he was plugged as like the fifth leading actor in this.
For some reason.
Because they said, and also starring in alphabetical order.
Oh, well, there's the reason why. Okay.
Yeah, there's a reason. And also in alphabetical order, we have playing the role of Anne-Marie Conklin, the head of the photography club.
Hold up. I gotta say it.
Please say it, Greg. Hit me.
We got the one, the only, Crystal Bernard.
I'm not gonna lie. I totally failed to recognize her at first.
Well, because she's got that mullet.
Oh, she's got a big friggin' hairdo. You're darn right about that.
But how could you miss Crystal Bernard? Because she's got that sassy Texas accent.
Yeah, I think I was paying more attention to the hair.
I was paying attention to the accent. It's like, how could you not know the accent? I mean, Crystal Bernard is Texan through and through. I mean, how could you miss it? Right?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you know I love wings?
I love wings!
I'm not finishing it. No, no, no.
No, no,
no. It did make Tony Shalhoub's career, though.
It totally made Tony Shalhoub's career.
Okay, but these next two.
Oh, boy. So, NBC had a little show in the early 80s called Different Strokes. And these next two people were on it, playing the requisite best friend
to
with
JJ.
A genius ID. His genius ID, genius IQ best friend, Otto, Todd Bridges.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
We'll have plenty to say about his character as we go on.
Yeah. It's like, all I will say right now is, you notice he's the only person of color in that high school?
Yeah, I did notice that.
And though the only person of color in High School USA, and he's a genius. Talk about one to grow on, am I right?
That's not stereotyping at all.
And playing the, I want to say she was the harlot of the high school, Kara Ames. Speaking of stereotyping, Dana Plato.
Wait a minute, you mean the same Dana Plato from the Sega CD classic Night Trap?
That's not stereotyping at all. And then there's some guy named John Colleary who plays Jerry. I think Jerry is Archie's brother or best friend or something.
Greg here in post. It actually turns out that John Colleary is not, in fact, Crispin Glover's best friend in the movie. I think he's like one of the other guys that hangs out around JJ and Todd Bridges and whatnot. But according to his Wikipedia, he was also in such things as Square Pegs and V. So there you go.
Next, we have Miss D'Angelo, a teacher at the high school. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this name?
Yeah.
He was like, you're going to say, what? And then I'm going to tell you where she's from. And you're going to say, oh, her. Angela Cartwright.
Who that be?
The original Penny Robinson from Lost in Space.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wow.
Her.
Yeah.
And then you have, I guess, another extra body in Swoozy played by Kellyanne Conn, who you would later see on one of the three Arthur and Jericho TV shows for TBS, Rocky Road.
Rocky Road?
We'll talk about that in a future episode. And then you have Milton Feld, Archie's father, who is the most successful car dealer in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Played by, oh, gosh. Greg, you can add a story to this, can't you? Because it's played by Bob Denver.
But yes, Bob Denver.
Wow! Wow, Chucky, look at this new car. Get a load of this. Wow!
That's right, son, a new car.
Oh, wow. Geez, I didn't realize that you could afford something like this just from selling pet supplies.
What do you think, your father's a schmo? You're looking at the number one scratching post salesman in the Midwest.
This is beautiful, Mr. Feld. Can we go for a ride?
Yeah, sure. Get in. But be careful.
I'm back here!
Gilligan himself.
Gilligan. Skipper!
Well, yeah. Also, wait, if we're talking about Bob Denver, we could go even further back. He played Maynard G. Krebs.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, and you know what? I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because the Different Strokes reunion isn't the only reunion that happened. And the Leave It to Beaver reunion is also not the only reunion that happened.
Oh?
But we'll get there. Next, we have Mrs. Franklin, played by Eleanor Donahue, who you best know as the eldest child of Jim and Margaret Anderson on Father Knows Best.
Well, also, she was Chris Elliott's mom on Get a Life.
Oh, yes! Really? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
yeah, right. She was the mom opposite Bob Elliott.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And now we go to Principal Pete Kenny, who was maybe JJ once at a fair age. Tony freaking Dow. You know, Wally.
Oh, yeah. And he's not the only person.
He's not the only one.
No, he's not the only person from Leave It to Beaver. We talked about Lumpy earlier, Frank mm-hmm. Bank, and we obviously talked about Tony Dow now, but there's even more coming up.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. But and this then... next one. Oh,
oh God. Buckle up! Here comes the big one.
Here, playing the douchebag of the movie,
the jock, the douchebag, the bully. JJ Manners is arch rival.
Yeah,
Bo Middleton. God, that's a waspy name, Bo Middleton.
He is played by Anthony Edwards.
Yes, that Anthony Edwards.
And remember, it's funny that he's playing the jock because in 1 year he's in a little movie called Revenge of the Nerds.
Where he is the nerd that gets revenge.
Oh, yeah. And of course, 3 years later, he would be in another 80s classic, Top Gun.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
He's basically doing the heel face and then the face heel. And then the ultimate heel face when he gets cast as Dr. Green on ER.
Oh, yeah. Oh, one of the saddest deaths in history on television.
Indeed.
Oh. But at least he married River's Song.
Yes.
Well, guys, in 3 years, we know what Anthony Edwards would be doing.
He'd be on a beach with Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer.
Yeah, playing volleyball.
Shirts versus skins.
Yeah.
Oh, the next scene. Yeah, the next scene.
That's right. There's stuff for the
ladies. Yeah. Keep watching the ladies. They're gonna love this. Oh, you're gonna give us that. You're gonna dive right in, right here.
Let's hit the showers, huh?
Yeah. You gotta say, that's one of the most WTF scenes of all time, that whole scene on the beach with Kenny Loggins playing with the boys playing in the background.
Yeah. Now that I think about it in retrospect, yeah.
Why wasn't that a mini game in the Top Gun game for the NES? If you were somehow lucky enough to land that plane, which nobody did, you could be rewarded with a mini game of playing shirtless volleyball on the beach.
You know how many times I managed to land that plane?
How many?
Once.
Once?
Once.
And did you celebrate when you landed the plane?
Yes, but I was 6 at the time, so I didn't play shirtless volleyball. That would just be weird.
That would be weird in an 8-bit sense.
Yes. But then you have Super Dodgeball out and Well, that's another story for another day.
Oh, Super Dodgeball is awesome.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Totally. Next is Steve Franken, who played the German teacher, Dr. Fritz Hauptmann.
Jesus.
I thought he was Austrian, not German.
Oh, sorry, he's Austrian.
Oh, what difference does it make?
He actually brings it up in the movie, though, so...
Okay.
But just for clarification's sake.
Sadly, no longer with us. He died from complications due to cancer.
Aww.
But, yeah.
He was great in this.
He voiced Eugene Atwater in future entry, Road Rovers.
Oh. I don't even think we have that on the list, so you might as well add it.
Might as well. Next is Jonathan Gries, who you would who plays Dirty Kurt, I believe. I don't know what who Dirty Kurt was.
He was the mechanic.
Okay, he was the mechanic.
But Jonathan Gries, for those who don't know, is Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yep.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Watch this. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over them mountains? Yeah, if coach would have put me in fourth quarter, we'd have been state champions, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things would have been different. I'd have gone pro. A heartbeat. I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
And now we have Mr. Plaza, one of the teachers at the high school. Another one of the teachers, played by Toby Dwayne Hickman. And yes, he's still thirsty as hell.
Yeah. Isn't he going out with that one teacher throughout the
Miss
whole
Miss D'Angelo?
Course?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that during the course of this movie. And then next, we have Nadine.
Nadine, who is sort of the prototype Jesse Spano of the group, played by Lori Hendler, who, by the way, had a birthday on Thursday.
Oh!
Yeah, she did!
Congratulations, mm-hmm. Lori. But yeah, she would have been on Gimme a Break It this time.
Yep.
On NBC.
On NBC. Yeah.
And of course, nobody played a stereotypical geek girl in the 80s better than her.
Uh-huh.
Oh no, she played it to the hilt. Absolutely.
She also played Pyramid and Body Language. So.
And she was also on previous installment Go.
So and much respect. Forward. Much respect.
She made the rounds back in the day.
She was on the circuit.
Yes. Next is Barry Livingston, who played Mr. Sirota. And Mr. Sirota was a teacher, but Barry Livingston was one of the three sons in My Three Sons.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
My Three Sons. Yeah. What a classic. God, oh, by the way, speaking of My Three Sons, guys, I have an announcement to make.
What's that?
Ladies and gentlemen, get the ref in. Get the ref in. I'm cashing in my money in the bank.
Oh, crap.
Oh!
Where's the referee? Here he comes. The real big deal. We're going to have this now. Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wait. We should probably break. Okay. Cue the dramatic music.
Okay. Since we brought up My Three Sons, of course, we know the dad on that show was Fred McMurray. And he was in a little movie in the 1950s for Disney, called The Shaggy Dog. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm cashing in my entry in late May on the 1987 Disney Sunday movie, The Return of the Shaggy Dog, starring Gary Kroger.
Cut the music! Oh, my God!
Oh, my gosh!
Cut the music. Okay.
Cut the music. What are you, Chico? Ravishing Rick Rude?
Probably. Anywho, yeah, try a rude awakening nowadays, you would get arrested. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, especially if you were going after Jake Roberts' wife.
Okay, so next up, Jerry Marin, who plays a silent role in the film as a robot.
Oh, yeah.
Any robot. Otto's robot.
Otto's robot. Oh, my God, the things we have to say about Otto's robot.
Oh, we could be here sometime just talking about the robot.
Oh, yeah. You know what's amazing about that robot in High School USA is he makes all these noises whenever he appears on screen. All noises that appears like, doing, oing, oing, to signify, oh, it's a robot. It's wacky and zany.
As opposed to being a cardboard box with a bucket on his head and a light bulb.
Yeah.
That's not robotic enough.
Otto. The suspense is killing me. When are you going to show me what this thing can do?
Well, it's not quite finished yet, Jake. Ah, oh, sure, come on in. I can show you a few things right now. Come on, help me get him down. See, he works on voice commands. Watch. Robot, walk. It's unbelievable. You know, you're a genius. A robot, stop. No. Anybody with a 200 IQ can do it. Robot, dance.
Oh, wow. Hey, Otto, can I try?
Sure. Robot, stop. You too, Bandini. Want to give it a shot? Yeah, all right. Robot, the door.
It's like, boing. Like, I can't even describe it. It's like these computer chips. And then these wacky, zany noises whenever the robot shows up.
It was an 80s robot. What do you expect?
Tiffany Brissett, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I have a question.
No, Tiffany Brissett was a little later.
I got a question. Do you think Otto's robot knew Johnny Five?
I bet you Otto's robot built Johnny Five.
Oh, good call there.
Yeah.
Sadly, no longer with us.
We also remember Jerry Marin as the, I think, last Munchkin to pass away.
Yeah, he was the last Munchkin. He was the surviving Munchkin.
Yeah, he didn't pass away that long ago, but he passed away, I want to say he was 97 or 98. He lived a good life, to say the least.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did.
Yeah. Okay, then you have the janitor, Mr. Krinsky, played by David Nelson, who was the older brother of Ricky Nelson.
Yeah. And, of course, if you don't know who David and Ricky Nelson are, just stop.
Yeah. Okay. Ozzie and Harriet, that's all you need to
Ozzie
know.
Ozzie and Harriet. Okay, but, guys, playing Nancy McKean's dad in the movie. Another legendary name, Ken Osmond.
Yep. Another person who was on Leave It to Beaver.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And this would have been around the time when he was a cop. So they must have gotten him back into the business somehow.
Yeah.
Because he was a cop when he was on Match Game Hollywood Squares, which would have been like two and a half months after this aired.
Yeah.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah.
Pick a spot where you'd like to put one.
Eddie, please.
Hi.
Eddie Haskell. Which came first? The Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals or the first convicted criminal to fry in the electric chair?
The SPCA came first. I'm a big animal fan, and so I know that. That was quite some time ago.
Mm-hmm. Probably not a big fan of criminals.
No, the SPCA has been around for... Well, they've been around since 1850s, I think, something like that.
Agree or disagree, Renee?
I have to agree.
The Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals came Stick first. You're right to agree, and you get the square. And all goes up.
So He was already out of show business and returned back to show business for this.
Yeah. You know what, guys? I'll tell you this. I say it many times. You could have had Ken Osmond with the watermelon to assist Gallagher, had Gallagher smash it. The entire crowd at NBC Burbank would have gone absolutely nuts. End of year right there.
And if that happened, we'd be celebrating the 38th anniversary of Match Game Hollywood Squares this coming October.
Oh, yeah.
It would have never been canceled because of Gallagher smashing a watermelon.
With the assistance of Ken Osmond. Could have happened, NBC.
Vivacious head of Nedra Voles, just saying.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Let's play the game.
All right, let's get to the rest of the cast. We have Danny, played by David Packer.
Yeah, nowadays you'd see him on, like, CSI, CSI New York.
All the CSIs.
All the CSIs, but he plays the human traitor in V, The Final Battle.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. And next we have Peggy, played by Kathy Silvers.
The daughter of Phil Silvers.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, but guys, hold on a second. Playing the character of Crazy Leo Banditti.
Oh, God. And he was indeed crazy.
He was indeed crazy.
Was he as crazy as Crazy Gideon?
We'll be talking more about Crazy Gideon in October. All right, but Mike, say it.
America's Ass back in 1983.
Tom Lord.
Oh, yeah.
One, two, three! Lower at 2 inches.
Oh, and on another NBC show, by the way.
We
talked about it sometime last year, and we talked about when they were on the 1983 Thanksgiving Day Parade very early in the show's run. Mm-hmm. So this is not the first time we're talking about one Tom Vola.
Not even.
No.
Oh, I think it's at least the fourth time we've talked about him.
Oh, yeah, it has to be.
Thanksgiving Day Parade, and we got it made, and also primetime starts at 7:30, and now this. So that's four. Uh-huh.
That's four for
America. We love Tom Vollard on this show.
When we have the official show Hall of Fame, he's going to be first ballot.
Oh, he's definitely in the same ballot, the same classes as McLean's.
Okay. Kaylee Ward plays Chris. Yeah. Then Miss Laura Lee Lee, played by Dawn Wells.
Oh, RIP. We just lost her not that long ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sad.
It was, I think, while we were doing the year in review, right?
I think so, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I think you added that in post.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we didn't lose her during the show, it was between recording and release.
Yeah.
Right. And then Chucky Dipple, played by Michael Zorich, who would be making the rounds on all the NBC shows. Family Ties, Facts of Life, ultimately ended up on Camp Nowhere, so...
Wait, the movie Camp Nowhere?
Camp Nowhere, yes.
You know who was in the movie Camp Nowhere?
Who was in the movie Camp Nowhere?
Christopher Lloyd!
Nice.
Yeah, you have two Back to the Future connections and a sort of connection with somebody who was in the cast in a movie with another cast member in Back to the Future. And by the way, Michael Zork does indeed play Crispin Glover's best friend in the movie. And this is the point in the episode where if you are watching along on YouTube, we'll give you some time to prepare, and you can just unpause this movie. And right after you see the clock in the movie and the also starring screen in the credits, you're going to hear a bell ring, and you can unpause the commentary track when you get a chance. So we're going to give you a couple of seconds to do that, and you can press pause right here on the episode, and we'll give you some time, and then unpause after you hear the telephone ring, starting now.
Okay, so the movie starts basically with Dana Plato's character and the other female characters, Crystal Bernard's character, and I think there's also some male characters just like talking on the phone.
They're all talking.
Yeah,
we have Crispin Glover's character talking on the phone.
Yeah, we have Crispin Glover's character talking to his friend here.
And there's Chucky. Who has a very big role later on in the movie, I believe, or at least in my opinion, I should say. And they're just talking, just seemingly like 80s students would. Hey, there's Todd Bridges now in the phone conversation.
He has he's a genius because he has a room full of planets.
Wait, Michael J. Fox is on like one of those teeter tables?
Yeah.
Oh
my gosh. And also, you know, just to make it 80s or more 80s, you had Dana Plato doing, like, aerobics, doing some leg lifts in bed, it looks like.
Yeah, because that was fashionable at the time.
Oh, yeah, that was Jane Fonda, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, and now we get to
and his Porsche.
Oh, boy.
Which is obviously a euphemism for his...
His,
Does this remind you of anything?
Does this remind you of anything?
Looks like a small car. Well, maybe.
Oh, my.
Never mind. But it doesn't look that wide, though. It looks very small to me. Talking about his car, folks.
Okay, so now Crispin Glover's character going to try to talk up a date here. This is going to end well.
No, it does not end well for Crispin Glover.
No, it does not. But hey, he got his foot in the door.
Yeah. And then we have Michael J. Fox watching this thing with like this guy juggling flags.
That circus.
Yeah. Oh, and here comes Nancy McKeon and Dana Plato.
Hey, just remember. Nancy McKeon not wearing a leather jacket, so...
That means she's hot!
And, yes, and you know what? She's kind of open to talking to JJ at the time. Yeah. Until JJ opens his big fat mouth and she thinks she's a creep.
Yeah.
Which, let's be honest, this is the first time that's ever happened.
No.
But hey, she gets to talk to Bo now.
Oh, Bo.
Bo. Yuppie trash!
Yuppie trash. I bet you he grew up to run the Royal Pacific Hotel, Chico.
I'll tell you who didn't grow up to run the Royal Pacific Hotel. Dobby! he grew up to become a teacher who is obviously trying to schmooze his way to the top, let's say.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Oh, and here's Crystal Bernard.
You know it's Crystal Bernard because she's talking in a Texas drawl.
Yeah, she's all being all sassy. Like we said, sweet 80s mullet she has.
Oh, Crystal Bernard is darling.
Oh, yeah.
And Laurie Hendler is playing the brain in a box. You know she's playing a brain in a box because she has the gigantic glasses.
She has the big-ass glasses. Okay, so now we're at the mechanic shop.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but Crispin Glover is learning how to shave.
Yeah, he's watching it from John Kreese.
Who's shaving from the reflection on a rim.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Here we got Tom Ballard.
Tom Ballard and his Tom Ballardiest.
Tom Ballard, I think, is since we've already used the Zach Morris reference and we've used the Jesse reference. He is clearly the Screech of this movie.
R.I.P. Screech.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. Screech. But he definitely plays the Screech role in this.
Yeah. And, of course, J.J. is, well, I don't know what the hell J.J. is doing. What's J.J. doing?
It looks like he's trying to throw, like, paper balls into the shop teacher's coffee mug.
Trying being the operative word.
Trying being very operative, yes.
Oh, and right now, Todd Bridges' character Otto's working on this robot that we talked about.
Yes, by the way, his robot is incredibly incredible.
And Greg, say what the robot looks like or who the robot looks like.
Oh, the robot looks like Awesomeo from South Park.
Now we're talking. Now Crystal Bernard's talking to Nadine and
her other friend.
Her other friend, and this is going to be one of the many, 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 many plots in the movie. There's like five different plots in this movie.
Five plots, Chico. There's like 80 plots in this movie.
There's like 16 billion plots in this movie.
Too many plots, too many plots.
Anyway, the photography club has a theme for entry, and that is natural beauty. And they get the idea, because this is clearly not an adaptation of a Square Peg script, R.I.P. Ann Beats. They're going to photograph Bo naked.
What?
They're going to photograph Bo's behind, yes.
Bo's, America's Bo.
Bo's beauty.
Little Bo.
Yeah.
Little Bo.
Bo's booty.
They don't know that Tom Ward is America's ass.
And Michael J. Fox just is about to realize the hard way that...
Oh, I see what you did there the hard way.
That the homeroom teacher that he was allowed to sort of blow off, he ain't there no more.
Oh.
And the replacement is somebody who, it's Mr. Hoffman. And think about Mr. Hoffman. Oh, by the way, nice dog. He has a dog. And
named Shotzi.
A dog named Shotzi, and B, he's blind. But at the same time, he has super, it sort of hones the rest of his senses.
So he's like, kind of like a teacher, Austrian teacher version of Daredevil.
He's an Austrian teacher version of Daredevil.
Okay, and, he's trying to
and,
sneak.
And JJ thinks he's going to get away with this. Still thinks he's going to get away with this. Always thinking he's going to get away with this. He doesn't get away with this.
No.
Nope.
The teacher ends up in his chair.
Ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
Oh, look. There's another person of color in this high school.
Oh, good. There's two people.
Oh, good. There's some diversity.
So now he has to go to the principal's office, JJ.
He's basically like this father figure. He really is. Yes, he's a principal, but he's the cool principal.
Yeah, Tony Dow wasn't that old in this. He was under 40, so he could play the cool principal.
Well, he had sort of the Reed Richards gray temple sort of deal.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So he was, I'd say he was 40-ish.
Yeah. But he was kind of like your Mr. Belding. We talk about the Saved by the Bell architectures. He was kind of like the Mr. Belding type in this bio.
Yeah,
this
he was, it's like, yeah, yes, he was the principal. But he was the cool principal.
He was the cool principal. But not like in that Mr. Belding trying way too hard to be cool sort of thing.
He's like, hey, I get you. I was you.
Yeah. I was the cool kid back in your day.
And now we sneak into the teacher's lounge and see Don Wells for some reason.
Oh, yeah, because he's making cookies, right?
Yep.
Yeah, she was the home ec teacher. No, it was at Croissants. But what it ended up being was some really weird. It was like possum croissants, I think, or some weird creature you wouldn't eat necessarily. Flavored croissants? Question mark.
I didn't know that was a thing, flavored croissants. But then we have the Austrian teachers with like a hot plate of coffee. And it's like, oh, no. We don't want him pouring it on us because he's blind.
Blind guy's got hot coffee.
Why would you try? Why would a blind guy hold a pot of hot coffee if he can't see?
Comedy. That's why. Now we have a big announcement. And this might have something to do with you, Dwayne Hickman, that there is going to be sort of a Teacher of the Year as defined by Bo Middleton Jr.
Why is a student deciding the Teacher of the Year?
Because he's Bo Middleton Jr.
The superintendent of this school can't decide the Teacher of the Year.
Well, now hold on. Remember, this Teacher of the Year comes with a $10,000 prize and an all-expenses-paid trip.
You're going to have...
We get it! You're rich, bitch!
You're going to have a student decide this.
We get it! You're rich, bitch!
Okay.
And,
Oh, yeah, here comes Bob Denver.
Here you are, Bob Denver. With his car.
With this car for his son.
With a car for his son.
And it's a bitchin' Trans Am.
Because you were the frickin' man if you had a Trans Am in 1983.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's me, but Crispin Glover's slacks are jacked up a little too high.
They're
definitely above the equator, if you will.
There goes the Trans Am, y'all.
Yeah, he scratched the door. Oh, my.
Oh, but here's Nancy Bikin's parents, which means here's Ken Osmond. And here's douchebag Anthony O'Donoghue.
And there's Anthony Edwards being his best Ken Osmond.
Yeah. Probably saying to Eleanor O'Donoghue, you know, in 7 years, you're going to be that guy from Late Night with David Letterman's mom.
And there is nothing wrong with that.
No.
And at this point, Mr. Franklin's like, dude, I was you.
Yeah. Symbolism.
And, oh, speaking of Beth Franklin.
There she is.
She looks like she's going somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
With this douchebag?
Yeah, this douchebag.
Oh. It's a pleasure seeing both of you again. What time would you like Beth home this evening? Oh, hey, typo, as long as she's with you, you can trust me. Do I own them or what? Yeah.
So now we're at this party.
Nice cake. This was before Baketopia, guys.
Yeah, this is before stuff like Cake Boss.
Incredible cake. It's shaped
but
like
that is
school.
A boss cake.
Oh, yeah.
And this party is, of course, in celebration of Bo Middleton being elected student body president. At this point, it's like Bo Middleton, student body president for life.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Nancy Bikin has like a Kobe Smulders vibe with that dress. Kind of looks like Kobe Smulders right there.
Robin Sparkles, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Robin Sparkles, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to the mall today.
And, of course, yeah. And, of course, they're planning they're using this party to plan another party, and to keep it as high class as possible, they're going to charge $100 a head.
Oh, yeah.
Because gentrification isn't a thing in 1983.
Yeah. Oh, but here we get Anthony Edwards.
And oh, by the way, it's Lumpy!
It's Lumpy!
Oh, there's Lumpy!
Todd Bridges and Lumpy are working for Anthony Edwards!
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that!
Oh, but here's something that's wrong with this. Crispin Glover and his friend are coming in.
Oh, no.
And Crispin Glover still has his slacks jacked up way over his belly button.
Yeah. And his friend is no better.
No.
His friend's a klutz.
Yeah. Hey, JJ's back. How did he get in here?
Must have snuck in through the back door. I don't know.
Yeah. So he's talking to Beth. You know, they're shooting the breeze. He's wondering out loud, what's a girl like you doing with a guy like him?
Yeah. And then, oh, here comes both douchebag friends.
Yeah. We're right behind you, buddy.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, best I be getting that dusty trail. Oh, no. No, Crispin Glover, what are you doing now?
Oh, he's about to get his ass beat. That's what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
But in comes JJ to save the day-day, which, seeing that shot framed is totally not awkward at all, by the way.
Oh, for later?
For later, yeah.
Yeah, in 2 years, in that scene in the Loose Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. And
oh,
somebody just got their knock blocked off.
Oh, and now Anthony Edwards' face has just gone right into the cake.
And basically he wants JJ's blood for the face and the coat and the everything.
Yeah.
And for no reason besides the fact that they're the help.
Oh, yeah.
Otto and Lumpy are going out with him.
Oh. Now here we get into the best part.
Okay, we're back in. Otto and JJ are playing with the robot.
Oh, yes. Wait, what was he going to do with the robot? He was trying to test and see if it'll go into space or something.
Because Otto has an IQ of 200. And if you don't know this, don't worry, because...
He says it all the time.
Oh, yeah, totally. He makes a point of this about 20 times.
Oh, yeah. But now he's turned on the robot. He's commanding the robot. And look at it. It can move. Look at him.
And Tom Villard's like, whoa.
Whoa, this robot can dance.
It's a robot. Doing the robot.
Nobody tell him that's Jerry Marin in there.
See, this is total. See, I guess this is where Trey Parker and Matt Stone got the idea for Awesome-O.
Probably.
Okay, it's like Tom Villard's like,
ooh. Oh my god, Tom Villard looks high in that clip.
Oh, meanwhile, it's Crispin Glover.
And the robot is breaking through the door. This is like, right now we're about like 20 characters in search of a plot.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And now, meanwhile, at the teacher's lounge.
Mm-hmm. Miss D'Angelo and, Mr. Plaza are, the song was called Adult Education.
Yeah.
By Hall & Oates.
Yeah, you could just play it over this part right here. No, I mean the audience, because we don't want to play it here, because obviously, yeah. For obvious reasons, but you could just play along. But yeah. It's like, oh, it feels like, oh, it's like, it's like, oh yeah, we're teachers. We shouldn't be doing this.
Well, yes, we're teachers. I want to be doing this. And we're back to JJ and Otto.
Yeah.
And
why is there only one ketchup bottle in the refrigerator?
Because comedy. That's why.
Ha 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 ha.
And they have to ask themselves, is this true? Are these the best years of our lives?
Hey, Otto just bragged about his 200 IQ again.
I'm shocked. This is my...
That's your shocked face, yes.
Shocked face.
Oh. But JJ, he's got, like, no car, and he has, like, no future plans.
Right now, his future involves getting Beth Franklin.
Yeah, that's all he's focused on right now, is I need to get Beth Franklin.
I need to hit that while I can.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on, Bo Middleton, he's a douchebag, but he's got, like, a car. He's got all the girls going after him. It's like, what? How can I compete with Bo Middleton? And meanwhile, the robot is in the shower!
But robots don't shower, unless, you know, he's a showering robot.
Oh, but he proved it. He's ready for the space program. Because I guess it, what, the water was ice cold
water?
No, I thought it was the other way
around. Boiling hot and ice cold.
Water,
boiling hot and ice cold. So he is ready for the space program. Oh, that's great news for the robot.
Hey, let's go to the carnival. Simply because that's a thing now, I guess.
Did you have carnivals back in your... Because I don't recall ever going to carnival.
Man, I went to the most jacked up high school in all of North Carolina, Westover High School. We did not have a carnival. Oh. You know what they had? They had 3 years to fit my mind so that I blend in with the man. They didn't even do that right.
Why would you need to blend in with Becky Lynch?
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Miss D'Angelo wants to do that thing with Mr. Plaza again.
Yeah.
And Mr. Plaza, no kiss.
No. Because what if someone sees us? I mean, we're here. Everyone can see us.
And he's Dobie Gillis. He wouldn't do that.
He's no.
He's not going to do that. He's Dobie Gillis.
To quote Hall & Oates, he can't go for that. No, no.
No can do.
No can do.
Okay, and now we're going into the fun house with, we are going to the fun house! Did I do it right, Mike? Yeah.
Okay. I approve.
Okay, cool. Bo and Beth in the fun house, and right behind them is, Amy Linker and Sarah Jessica Parker. I don't know.
Well, we got Lori Handler and her friend in here.
Yeah, they want to take a picture of Little Bo.
If you know what we mean. Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to get a Little Bo peep?
Here comes Crispin Glover and his friend.
Yep. Guess who they're going to get a picture of? I'll give you a hint. It ain't Anthony Edwards.
Oh, I'd hope not.
They're going to get a picture of Crispin Glover's friend.
Oh, no.
His big, pimply butt.
Oh. All right, so Lori Handler and her friend are out. They got the pictures, but then it's like...
That's what? Not Anthony Edwards' butt.
What?
It's that guy. You know, that guy.
Oh.
Yeah. And here's JJ and Otto and JJ, Otto and Robot.
No, you mean JJ.
I guess you could say this was a Lost in Space sort of thing too, because there's a robot.
Yeah. Well, you've got to make
it. It's not the robot, but it's a robot.
A robot. But Chico, it's not JJ. Otto and the robot. It's JJ, Otto, and Awesomeo.
Yeah, Awesomeo would have gone to a carnival.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Bo's too good for the Ferris wheel. Beth wants to go on that Ferris wheel. Beth wants to take her on that Ferris wheel.
Oh, JJ.
JJ wants to take her on that Ferris wheel, so we going on that Ferris wheel.
Oh, yeah, they're on the Ferris wheel. Look at that. They're all high above and stuff.
This was before the age of the hypercoaster. This was about as high as
as you could get back in 1983.
Yep.
Well, yeah, they're talking it out. They're talking it out. And then
they're talking it out, and...
Oh, Crystal Bernard points out to Anthony Edwards, hey!
Oh, Crystal Bernard's a narc now!
Oh, she is a total narc in this movie.
Oh, and Beth plants one on JJ's cheek, which is so nice.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And Bo's like, oh, hell no!
Oh, hell no!
Hello, Beth, honey, we gotta talk to you. Why would you ruin your relationship by Bo Middleton by being seen with that JJ Manners? That's like breaking up with the doctor to date an orderly.
Oh, yeah. Well, she doesn't know that Bo Middleton grows up to become a doctor.
Right.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox grows up to...
go back in time.
I was going to say become the civic engineer, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, for the mayor of New York City. By the way, the episode of Spin City where Paul went on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is a future entry.
You know we're going to be talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so JJ calls Beth.
Which is, you know, I'm only, you don't go skating with Bo Middleton. I know, but a girl has to, it's like, he is literally doing the Zach Morris thing to the hilt.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Beth is at least considering it.
Yeah, you know that Zach Morris was watching this movie and he got, like, all the future tips.
And now Beth's getting calls from Bo.
Oh, yeah, he's on his 80s car phone because, you know, douchebag, 80s car phone.
She's driving that little Porsche.
He's driving a little Porsche.
Of course
he's driving a car phone. And he is pissed off that he's talking to, that she's talking to JJ.
Oh, yeah. Because Crystal Bernard told me everything.
That narc?
Yeah.
And now we have, for some reason, a glory hole leading to what looks to be the girls'
locker room.
The boys' locker room. You know, oh!
Yeah, they want to get the picture of Bo's behind.
Yeah, Lori Handler wants to get the picture of Bo's behind.
Yep. It's a. And
it's a reverse Porky's!
Yep. Only nobody's inserting anything into the hole. They're just looking at it.
Oh, thankfully.
And now Bo is about to stand up and that guy's shaving again. What the hell?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Oh, the girls got caught by the janitor.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And in case you didn't know he was the janitor, on the back of his shirt, he's got this huge patch that says janitor.
And meanwhile, Anthony Edwards just discovered the hole.
Oh.
They're using Crispin Glover's friend's butt to make it even bigger.
Oh. All right, now we got track scene. Oh, Tom Ballard's going to jump over the pole.
Oh, no. This is not going to end
oh,
well.
Oh, no, he jumped under the pole.
He jumped. He cleared the pole. He cleared the pole.
He'd get
from the other side.
He'd get disqualified for that in the Olympics. What are you doing?
And now here's Bo playing football. In his Izod and his Ray-Bans.
Oh, yeah.
Because apparently that's the thing you do in 1983.
Hey, in three years, he's going to be playing volleyball on the beach with Tom Cruise.
And he's sort of looking a little like John Elway back in his college days with the Ray-Bans.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile,
Stanford.
Meanwhile, his friends are all like, stay away from Beth, you bastard.
Yeah. Yeah, JJ, you stay away from Beth. That's Bo's girl. Oh, poor JJ, he's bleeding.
Oh, no.
Bleeding from his mouth.
He's bleeding from his mouth.
And there's Christopher Hart.
Man, this girl's always into starting stuff.
She's always starting stuff. She's like, oh, Bo, Rick, look at your girl. She's over there with JJ.
And JJ is eating this up.
Yeah. Bo's like, oh, that son of a bitch.
I'm gonna fix that.
Hell yeah.
And Anne Marie's like, she's the Lisa Turtle prototype up in here.
Oh, Dawn Wells is clearly the Lisa Turtle prototype.
Dawn Wells is a teacher, I think.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, because we established she was in the teacher's lounge.
Uh-huh. And she wants to, and she is basically schmoozing her way to the top as well. And by the top, I mean the $10,000.
Not the $10,000 pyramid.
No.
Oh, there's
he's going to get to the top of his $10,000 pyramid. Am I right?
Oh.
And I think JJ's about to get his ass kicked again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but here...
by the dog.
Oh, here's the dog. Oh, they're set. We have the Austrian teacher. Mr. Hoffman, the blind teacher.
Oh, this is not going to end at all well.
No.
At all.
You know, no. For a blind teacher, he has a good sense of where he's walking and where his students are.
Yeah, what's up with that, huh?
Yeah. Oh, look at Anthony Edwards. He's like, oh, I'll help you out. Oh, company you out of the room. Oh, no. He wants to visit his mama in Germany.
Well, there you go. That's so nice.
Oh, that's sweet.
And there's a dog.
There's his dog. Again.
Oh, it's a seeing eye dog. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And
but,
right now is seeing...
Oh, no!
His seeing eye dog is seeing lunch.
Oh, that bow planted in there.
Filet of JJ, son.
Oh, no. This is ridiculous. Oh, but now you got to chase all over the cafeteria. Oh, no. No.
Oh, no. Oh,
this
oh
is...
no.
This is very much like the scene in Sandlot, where the beast is chasing Benny.
Yep. And JJ is basically caught by the principal and the teacher.
Yeah.
The plaza, yeah.
Oh, there's a piece of pizza there. All that for a stinking piece of pizza, really?
Mm-hmm. And Beth is not having it.
No.
How could you play such a cruel joke on a helpless blind man?
Oh. And JJ's like, Mr. Kinney, I didn't do what I was set up. It's like, yeah, I know. You're telling the truth.
And you're just going to let this happen to me?
Yeah. Oh, meanwhile, here's Bob Denver with his Trans Am. And JJ's got a car.
Yeah, but JJ's car is hardly the Trans Am.
No.
In fact, JJ's car doesn't even start.
No.
It starts and stops.
It starts and stops.
This is going to call for some genius power.
Oh, my God.
And
Mention that Bo Middleton rigged his car not to start?
Oh, yeah, he did. What an asshole.
And this pretty much sets JJ off. Now he wants a race.
Now he wants a race. This is the 80s trope of a big showdown. It's like, we're going to have a race. We're going to see who has the fastest car.
A week from today, for the fall dance, a race. Me against you, one-on-one. You're racing a Porsche.
Oh, that's not a good idea.
Your little Top Gear car is racing a Porsche.
Yeah, you're racing against Anthony Edwards and his Porsche.
You couldn't beat him unless you had a DeLorean. Oh, sorry.
Give it another 2 years, Chico. Oh, speaking of 2 years.
Hey, look, it's Crispin Glover again.
Yeah. JJ's like, Archie, can I use your dad's car? He's like, oh, you're going to use my dad's car.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and that
faints.
Yeah.
Oh.
So now we have another staple of 80s high school life, the arcade.
Oh, my God.
But, of course, they have to block out all the names of the games, which is kind of stupid, so.
Yeah, because they don't want Midway to sue them.
Yeah. This is what I don't get.
Yeah. Well, this isn't Starcade, Chico.
Oh.
But JJ's explaining to Crispin Glover about, oh, I need your dad's Trans Am for that race. But he's like, oh, he's out of town, so he won't be back for 2 weeks.
Why don't you tell the keys to your father's drawer wrapped in his bikini underwear?
Oh, nice going, Chucky. Now who's the bigger lame-o, you or me?
Tough call. We may have to go to a tie-breaking question on this one.
Oh, but who's over here?
Oh, we have Goon 1 and Goon 2.
Oh, but meanwhile, we're at a movie theater.
Oh, look. It's the teachers who are hot for each other but can't, you know, commit.
Yeah, and they're 60 miles from the school. So they're like, oh, nobody from the school is going to see us. We're 60 miles away. Oh, but look who's
there's a robot.
There's Otto's robot. And he's looking at the soda machine.
Oh, this part's great.
Oh, he's using, like, telekinesis on the freaking
soda
machine.
That would be radio waves, remember?
Oh, radio waves. Okay.
Because he's a robot.
He's a robot.
Yeah, he's like sexing up the vending machine.
Oh, but guess who's here? It's Tom Ballard! Living up to his moniker of America's Ass in 1983. He's like, hey guys, look who's here! And Tom Bridges and everyone's like, oh hey!
Hey everybody! Hey! Meanwhile, the robot is getting his robot freak on with the drink dispenser.
Oh! Yeah, it's spitting out soda, it's spitting out change.
And JJ is spitting out the Trans Am.
Yeah.
But we all know that what's-his-face's goon squad got to it first.
Guessing. Anthony Edwards' goon squad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, JJ, promise me you go
That's
slow.
This just went from awkward to awkward!
Oh.
And we're back in. Car chase.
He's like, oh yeah. Anthony Edwards is like, oh yeah, I got a plan about how to beat these losers.
And Crystal Bernard's starting junk again.
Oh yeah. Oh, here comes Anthony Edwards trying to sweet talk Crystal Bernard into being a narc.
You know, for somebody who loves Beth Franklin a lot, she sure talks to Crystal Bernard's character a lot.
Yeah, she does. Why isn't he going out with her?
I don't know. Let's go to a roller rink.
Oh, yeah, let's go to a roller rink. We have Crystal Bernard and her other friend. They're dressed up like punks. I gotta say, Crystal Bernard with that punk hairdo, looking mighty fine.
Much better than the mullet.
Oh, yeah. Oh. But Crispin Glover's like, am I crazy? Or do those two girls look like they're coming on to us? And the answer is, yes, Crispin Glover. Yes. Wait a minute. What are their fake names? I'm Helen Putrid, and this is Vicky Slime, and we quit school in the third grade. What?
What the ever? What the hell is this?
I have no idea. This movie has taken a hard left turn into what the effery.
What kind of chicanery is going on right now?
But they're like, do you have a car? We could go a lot further in a car if you know what I mean.
Wink, wink.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, did anybody notice that their car is bigger than Anthony Edwards' car?
Yeah. But,
it handles tighter, too.
It does. Oh, they're making out and stuff. But, my God. No!
Oh, no. He's literally a backseat driver.
Oh, no. Crispin Glover, he has to drive his dad's car.
From the backseat. This is not going to end well.
Did Christopher Nard not think, this could possibly happen? Oh, it crashes into a sign. Oh, look at that. We got some guy he's painting.
So that's why the roads in Los Angeles are strange.
Oh. And then, oh, shoot.
They crash into
a fountain.
Oh, God. We're screwed. We're screwed. We're really screwed.
But Dad's out of town for 2 weeks.
Well, they're screwed.
And you know what? JJ, by proxy, is also screwed.
Oh, yeah. So now, Archie and Chucky, they're just planning, all right, we're going to dress up. We're going to get out of here. We're going to probably join the army or something. But meanwhile, JJ's at the bakery where Beth works at.
I got to talk to you. I got to explain what's going on here.
And he got all the numbers just so he could talk to her. I know, this is very confusing, kids, if you don't know this. But back in the day, to wait your turn, you would have to get a number.
Yep. They still do that some places at delis and stuff like that.
Well, not here.
True.
I just got deli meat the other day from BJ's, and I had to grab one of those numbers.
Oh, okay, so the deli at BJ's, you have to grab a number.
You still have to grab a number in 2021.
COVID and all, yes. All
right. Okay. Lori Hendra and the friend, they're still trying to get that picture of Bo. But, shenanigans happen. Ooh, with a ladder. Now they're looking at all the pictures and like, that's not Bo. That's pictures of his parents. Ooh.
Why is Mrs. Milton wearing a nurse's uniform?
Oh.
That isn't Mrs. Middleton. That's Mr. Middleton.
Oh!
And turns out that Beth is not here for Bo's shenanigans either.
No, she's not going to put up with Anthony Edwards' BS. He's like, I introduced you to the popular crowd, and if I dumped you, you'd be like nobody. Which, he's got a point.
And this is why he's a douchebag, by the way.
That's why he's a douchebag. Okay, here's the robot again. This robot's the best thing in this whole thing. And he breaks the glass so they can get into the Archie's house.
Which is totally legal, which is very legal and very, very cool.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah. Archie and Chucky, they're having lunch.
Yeah.
And because
they're about to die.
They're about to die. They just explained, we didn't do anything to the car. I didn't touch it, honest. No, Chucky did. And then they show the car, and J.J. Howard, oh, how bad can this car look? Oh, it's pretty bad.
Oh, that's real bad.
Oh, it's real bad. That's like, oh, this is like a joke, all right? The real car is like, where's the real car? It's like, oh, yeah, that is the car. The only thing that still works is the hazard light.
Oh, also, did you see the shirt that Chucky's wearing?
New York's the Big Apple, but Cleveland's a plum.
And that was actually something they tried pushing Cleveland back in the early 80s was, okay, New York is the Big Apple, Cleveland's the plum.
This was when Dennis Kucinich was probably mayor.
No, Kucinich, I think, was out by 79. This would have been George Voinovich.
Okay.
That still doesn't make any sense.
No!
They tried. I mean, remember, late 70s, Cleveland needed all the positive promotion it could get.
You know what they should have played?
What?
The Cleveland tourism song.
Oh, shut up.
I mean, you had your own problems, Mike. You had Ted Stepien back then.
Yeah, we did have Ted Stepien back then, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, oh, no, Archie's got a call from his dad. He's like,
you're not in Cleveland. Where are you? At the airport?
Oh.
I couldn't do that. I just got my license the other day, and I'm still a little bit rusty. Shaky. So he's going to pick up his dad.
Oh, my God.
In that.
So they're going to have to try to figure out some way. So, okay. They're at a restaurant with his dad. And they were like, JJ's like, okay, let me handle this. So we have JJ, Otto, Archie, and Chucky with Archie's dad. And they got some great news. Archie's is already quarterback of the football team. And you're probably wondering, like, wait a minute. How could Crispin Glover be a starting quarterback because he throws underhanded? No, really, that's what Archie's dad says.
Oh, boy. Hey.
He couldn't believe it. So he's like, Archie's dad's like, you know what? This calls for a celebration. Drink!
And now he's passed out in the backseat.
Oh, yeah. Well, guess what?
Now he's passed out in the front seat.
Now they're going to frame the car being stolen on him. Because it's 1983. Alcoholism is funny. Oh no, I totaled the Trans Am. Oh.
And he's passed out again. So how are we going to solve this race problem?
Yeah.
We have no car. We have a car.
So now they're like, let's help JJ fix up his car. Like, oh yeah, why not? So let's fix up his car.
And because Otto has an IQ of 200.
Yeah. You can fix this car. Oh no, now Tom Ballard's driving a bus.
Why is he driving a bus?
Oh, who knows?
What? And Mr. Plaza and Miss D'Angelo still aren't getting any.
No, they're now eating at a restaurant. Because all he wants to do is win that stupid prize. Like I said, why is a guy like Anthony Edwards deciding this competition? Why? So she goes into the bus, and then
uh-oh,
she just goes, wait a minute. Really?
Leo Bendini driving a bus?
I couldn't get
hold of a plane.
Okay, they're doing good work on the car. Yeah, they're working hard on that car. Oh, no! No, Tom Ballard, what'd you just do? You drove the bus into the garage.
He's America's ass.
Yeah. They're all like, what? What? This is our stop?
All the passengers are getting out of the bus.
They're all looking. Okay, at Tom Ford, like, huh?
And what's Miss D'Angelo doing there? Now she knows everything.
Now she knows what's going on here.
Now she's going to turn us in. Wait a minute. I'd love to see you with King Prep. Yeah, we all would, but we had a few of your basic major setbacks. All you need is a little boost. Who's that man coming down the track? Big Bad Bo. And, oh, look, it's a musical number, I guess.
Yeah, or some kind of cheerleading routine. But I think they've done it. Look at that.
That is a giant spider.
Yeah. It's giant ass horsepower. But they need to protect it with some kind of a heat shield. No, but what?
Not the robot.
Oh no. No. Oh no.
I thought you loved me.
Oh no. It's a tough decision for Otto, but oh no. He's like, oh.
Not Awesome-O.
Not the robot.
Not the robot.
He swears it's not going to hurt or anything.
If I didn't know better, I'd say that Otto has like a thing for the robot.
Jerry Marin's and it's going to hurt him.
Never gonna let you go. I'm gonna hold you in my arms forever. Gonna try and make up for the times I hurt you so. Alright, so now we're in the big race. Oh.
This is, if you bought the DVD version of this movie, this is what you were waiting for.
Yeah, because, alright, Chico, can you explain the DVD cover of this movie?
Okay, so on IMDb, they have all the home release covers of this movie. And the most honest to the premise one was probably the VHS, which has it has Michael J. Fox and Nancy McKeon on the cover with High School USA. It's very, very, very bland. Much like this movie. But then you have, like, the European release, and it has, like, this sort of cheerleader with a really pronounced rear end bending over something.
Ugh.
And then you have this yearbook cover photo from the Multicom release.
Which is on the Riff Tracks version of the movie.
Yep, which is actually pretty accurate in and of itself, too.
Yeah, and actually, you can buy this movie on Riff Tracks because it's done by Bridget Nelson and Mary Jo Peel. You can buy it on Riff Tracks, folks.
Mm-hmm. There's cheerleaders. Again,
oh,
they're making a big deal out of one scene.
One scene.
One lousy scene.
One lousy scene with Dina Plato and Crystal Bernard.
And okay. Then there's this. And then there's this.
Oh, yeah, the DVD cover.
DVD release.
There's
a football. You have a football player and a fast car. Never mind that these are two different scenes and they have absolutely nothing to do with each other.
Nothing to do with each other at all. None.
This is basically to capitalize off Fast and the Furious jump cuts. It even says so in the sort of tagline, pick up your speed or get out of the way. In the context of the movie, it doesn't make any sense. Come on.
No, you can't sell it for what it really is. Okay. All right,
again, the yearbook photos.
The yearbook photos is really what should sell the movie. Okay. But okay, Crystal Bernard is telling Nancy McKeon about what she did. Oh, yeah. He almost would have gave Bo a run for his money in Trans Am, but thanks.
Thanks to me. Thank you, Anne-Marie. We don't have to worry about that old Trans Am. That car is now a pile of junk. You wrecked someone's brand new car because Bo told you to? Can you think of a better reason?
Oh. Damn it, Crystal Bernard, you gave away the entire scheme.
That's not a Trans Am. That's Michael J. Fox's old jalopy.
Oh, no.
And now there's a and now there's like a Hemi sticking out of it.
A Hemi sticking out of it.
There's a Hemi sticking out of it.
And they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to kick Bo's ass.
And remember, this is the big race. It's an hour 20 minutes in.
Yeah, it's okay.
And by the way, it also has a Men in Black red button.
Yeah, which Otto tells JJ, okay, it has a red button. Oh, Smooch!
Big kiss for luck from Beth.
Oh, yeah. All right, so here we go. The big race. This is what we've been building an hour and a half for.
Here it is.
Here it is. Vroom, vroom. Okay, there we go.
And, yeah, it's basically a race. I mean, come on. Stunt drivers, quick cuts. The whole deal.
Oh, yeah, your standard 80s car chase. Oh, there's Tom Ward. He's on a tree.
Now he's off a tree. Well, no, give it up for J.J. Manners. He does not know the meaning of the phrase, no fight. There is no quitting that guy.
Oh, yeah. He did
it! And our man takes him down like Anakin Skywalker took down that one dude.
Sebulba?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Star Wars Episode 1 Racer on Nintendo 64. That was where it was at in 1999.
Oh, yeah.
But everyone's celebrating. Yeah, JJ's won the race. Look at that. Bo's friends. They're all like, ugh.
Yeah. And Beth's like, yeah, you can F off with that mess.
Oh, yeah. So now we're at the dance.
Big prom.
But okay. Oh, look at that. Archie and Chucky are getting a photo from Bob Denver. But oh, look at that. Look at that feet. Look at that. Why do we need to see that?
I don't know.
No.
Because they're wearing tennis shoes with tuxedos.
Yeah. Ah. That's a fashion faux pas. Oh, look at Tom Ballard.
Speaking
right
of fashion
here.
Faux pas.
Like we said.
Tom Ballard, a.k.a. the Tiger King.
The 1983 Joe Exotic.
Guess what, mother beepers? And JJ, who has no car anymore.
Yeah.
Needs a ride.
Oh.
It's Mr. Kinney.
Oh, yeah. He gives him a ride.
Like I said, cool principle.
Yeah, that's right. Because his car is shot. Because the race killed the car.
Race killed the car. So Mr. Kinney offers him a ride. Yeah. Like I said, cool principle.
Yeah, that's right. But Mr. Kinney's very proud of JJ. And I don't blame him. You know, he beat that douchebag Bo Middleton. All good. Oh, now we're at the dance.
Oh, my God, the dresses.
The dresses are so... And, oh, my God, why is Dana Plato date a military captain?
You don't want to know.
I don't want to know. Oh, wait. He's from the United States Air Force, but he's not my father.
Oh, right. Your father's much younger.
Oh, there's Archie and Chucky. They're teasing on Bo. And Bo's friends abandoned him like, oh, you can take care of yourself. Oh. And then Archie's like, gee, I'm sorry, Bo. We didn't mean anything you want to hang. But you can hang around with us.
And what would I possibly have in common with you two?
You like cheese.
Hey, it's the hero!
Yeah, JJ.
JJ.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Plaza and Miss D'Angelo are finally, well, they will be.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yep. Oh, and there's the blind Austrian teacher.
Would you like to dance here in front of the whole school? Isn't that kind of risky? I tip the band they're playing a slow one. I'd really like to dance with you. But what about the Middleton grant? You could blow it, so I lose. I just don't want to lose you.
Oh, he finally smartened up.
Took him long enough.
Oh.
Maybe I should start wearing my uniform. Maybe some respect for my U-boat commander, who is still at defending his arms. Which is now just disturbing. It went from awkward to disturbing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, look! Orange and Jackie got some girls.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Otto!
Yeah! Oh,
and
look!
And the robot! Well...
The robot's back! I guess he didn't sacrifice the robot after all. I'm glad the robot lived. Weren't you glad, Mike, the robot lived?
He's glad the robot lived.
Are we sure that he didn't just make a new robot?
Oh, like K-9 Mark II or K-9 Mark III?
Anywho, and Bo's trying to get back with Beth, but like I said before, Beth is having none of it.
No.
JJ's like, look, I know I'm not Bo. And she's like,
oh, JJ's got number 86.
From the bakery.
From the bakery.
More appropriate if he had 69. I'm just saying.
Nice.
Oh, you know, it's funny. 69 and 86, you know what they have in common?
Nothing.
No, they do. They were both the years the Mets won the World Series.
Ah, that's right. No. And now it's time for the pièce de résistance.
Oh.
Because Otto's date, the robot, is about to finally resolve a lost plot point.
Oh, look at that. He took Bo's pants down, and Lori Handler can now finally take the picture, and everyone's like, ha 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 ha. And that's the end of your movie.
Okay.
There's a lot of loose ends, but hey, we got the picture of Anthony Edwards' butt.
That was the loosest end of all, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, jeez.
I gotta say, I had fun with this.
This was fun.
This was a whole lot of fun.
And we deserved this after Mockingbird Lane.
Oh, God, yes, we do.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you something else. We're not done yet.
Okay.
No. We're not done yet.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because you have all of this boatload of talent, and all the kids loved it. You gotta have more.
We gotta have more.
More.
But how are you gonna have more?
To be continued, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Woo! Now let's give an overall review. Todd Bridges and the robot. What do you think that relationship was? Because as I've said, I think that he really loved that robot.
Yeah. As much as Timmy loved Lassie, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it was almost a replacement for human friends.
But he had
human friends.
Yeah, I was about to say, he has human friends. Human friends love him. Todd Bridges was a loved character.
Well, he only has friends maybe only at school, so the robot is his friend outside of school, or also in addition to school, as we saw in the movie.
Yeah.
Or maybe, now that I'm thinking about it, it's sort of like what we would see about 20 years down the line with The Amazing World of Gumball and his little brother / pet, Darwin. Because remember, Darwin was a fish. Gumball is a cat. Darwin was a fish, but not just any fish. Darwin was a fish who grew legs, and they became brothers.
Wow. But you know what? I'll say this. Robot, best thing in the movie. Well, one of the best things in the movie. Which segues into my next point. Okay, guys, are you ready?
Yes.
Tom Ward, best thing in this movie or the bestest thing in this movie?
Tom Ward is good in anything he does.
Mike, what do you think? Was he the best or the bestest?
I'm going to just say the best. I think the robot was the bestest.
Okay. But I just loved the scene where he just walks in on Dwayne Hickman at the movie theater.
He just wanted some privacy from 60 miles away.
Yeah, he was just going out with another teacher 60 miles away. That's a common thing, right?
Who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to do that.
Meanwhile, that robot is just using his robot waves to get the soda and the change.
And you know what? That's called being enterprising.
And that's also why I say the robot is the bestest thing in the movie. Just how the robot got the soda and the change out of that vending machine.
Yeah. You know, guys, one more thing I got to mention.
What's that? At
the end of the movie. You know how this movie really should have ended?
How?
You're allowed boom, sonic boom. DeLorean pops out. And guess who comes popping out? Doc Brown saying, JJ, you got to come back with me.
You know, now that I think about it, JJ and Marty McFly do wear the same clothes.
Yeah.
Especially the end of Back to the Future.
That would have been so great. Foretelling what was to come 2 years later.
It could have been done because Christopher Lloyd, he would have been done with Taxi at this time.
Yeah.
He had time on his hands.
Yeah, before Star Trek III when he demanded to Captain Kirk.
Give me Genesis!
What does he want with the Mega Drive? Oh, wait.
I see what you did there, Chico.
But in the meantime, you can hit up our website. It was a thing on TV.com. You find all of our episodes, all of our social media feeds. We're on all the social media at It Was a Thing on TV. And of course, we got to give the shout out to our friends at Place to Be Nation Pop.
Oh, yes, because in the last week, we've had our previous two episodes from the previous week, which were K-9 and Company and the 1978 Science Fiction Film Awards.
Rocket Man.
Rocket Man, burning out his fumes out here, alone. Oh, that was so great.
It was.
Not as great as this, but okay. Oh, and also, we have the remastered series going on right now. Last week we had, or previous Sunday, we had episode 4, which was Jennifer Slutier.
Yep.
Notable for two things. To date, only time we've ever had a guest on the show. And Chris Lane.
Hi, Chris Lane.
Hi, Chris. And second of all, it's the only episode I never appeared on.
Uh-huh.
And I explained it in the cold open to the remastered episode about why I'm not in this episode. But this coming Sunday, guys, we have a classic from episode 5. That's My Dog and Think Like a Cat. We had so much fun with That's My Dog.
Yep.
That CDIS opening.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. That was so great. Oh, hold up, guys. We're not even done this week.
We're not done this week?
Oh,
what
no.
else is there?
No, we have, well, an historic event in sports is having an anniversary on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yes. And some weird circumstances surrounding this event happened that until recently, nobody had any idea for the reason why this particular circumstance with this event happened. It's a crazy story, and we'll explain it all this Saturday on It Was a Thing on TV. Or if you're listening on Place Media Nation Pop, it's going to be right after this. Have a good week, and we'll see you next time. Wow!
So, like, I wasn't totally focused in there or anything, but I'm pretty sure that mom was trying to her son.
Wait, the hot chick was Alex B. Keaton's mom?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But they're the same age.
No, but he went back in time.
Then why is it called Back to the Future?
He has to go back to the future because he's in the past, so the future is actually the present, which is his time.
What?
Whoa, this is heavy.
There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Oh, man. High School USA, the 1983 TV movie. I gotta say, Todd Bridges' robot. The best thing that came out of that movie. And what an episode it was. Me, Mike, and Chico, we had so much fun doing it. Well, we got some things going on at the Place to Be Nation Pop Experience. Oh, the show I am doing, Pop Goes to the Couch on the Mighty Ducks Game Changers. Me, James Grunberg, and J.R. Senior D'Amato, we reviewed Season 1, Episode 6, Spirit of the Ducks, as we went over the return of the original Mighty Ducks crew in the new Mighty Ducks Disney Plus series, as we discussed our favorite moments and we predicted what we were going to expect in the next episode. Oh, by the way, Making Mount Rushmore number 17, where Sean Kidd, Scott Shiflett, and James Grunberg, my co-host on the Mighty Ducks Game Changers Pop Goes to the Couch podcast, joined Andy Atherton to discuss which TV bombs deserve a place on their respective lists. Is Carol Brady a no-brainer? What about Mrs. Cunningham? Will Beverly Goldberg grab a spot? Does Jill Taylor or Claire Huxtable deserve a place? Man. And also, you got the movie moms in that grouping. Can you argue that Sarah Connor shouldn't get a spot? Will Mrs. Gump be included? What about Molly Weasley or Alan Griswold? Oh, you gotta have Alan Griswold in there. Beverly D'Angelo. Come on. And in episode 4 of Feeling Good For Now, Steve is joined once again by Jordan Duncan and Glenn Butler to wax positive on the last blockbuster, surprise Yo-Yo Ma concerts, Red Dead Redemption, pizza, deep subjects reviewed on a 5-point scale, and the Department of Truth. And then they offer spectacular advice on beard care for our times. Man, well, I don't have a beard, so I can't join in on that. I don't know what it's like to have a beard. So, yeah, you got me on that. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Wrestling Network, which includes a dive into topics running the gamut from the day's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Jenny and the Gems, PTB NXT, Extreme Resurrection, the NWA Saturday Special, NWA Crock and Roll, Chicken Salad, Special Relations Podcast, Highway to the Impact Zone, and so much more. Subscribe today, and while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well. It is the home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Driving, The Journey Through Infinity, Hot Tokes, The Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, you heard about Pluto, Bianca's First Time, and more. And check out the North-South Connection, brought to you by JT0, Chad Campbell, and George, the home for Wrestling Warzone, No Old Sport, The Extreme 3-Way Dance, The Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, From Montreal to Boston, The Year That Was, Shrink Wrap, TNA Never Dies, Rank and File, and more. Also, Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, where they try to enjoy the things they love. Find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter, NonToxicFanboys.com, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Also, the Rejuvenated Place to Be Discussion group on Facebook. You can go there, look up Place to Be, request an invite, and discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture are there. Also, we got the 2021 Stretch Project, determining the greatest NWA WCW wrestler of all time. You can go to Facebook.com/GWCW matches or join the group and to discuss the nominees. And be sure not to forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bring you articles on top of the worlds of wrestling, sports, pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown and Fox Report, Steve Riddle's Wonderful World of Disney Reviews, Paulie's Perspective, and Matt's Live Action Disney Movie Reviews. And if you're doing online shopping at Amazon, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the PTBN homepage, or use PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon. It'll take you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN at no cost to you. Okay, so we promised a mini-sode, so let's do it. Recently, in the last weekend, as we are posting this on May 5th, we had an anniversary in sports, as I mentioned, that occurred on May 1st. And some bizarre circumstances with this event happened, and it's so crazy. So let's get to the story of a live simulcast involving Nolan Ryan's 7th and final no-hitter from 1981. For the Texas Rangers against the Toronto Blue Jays, right now. Minisode 6, Submission 2132. KXAS-NBC5's live coverage of Nolan Ryan's seventh no-hitter. KXAS-NBC5's live coverage of Nolan Ryan's seventh no-hitter was an impromptu simulcast of the TSN feed of a game between the Texas Rangers and Toronto Blue Jays the night of May 1st, 1991. Well, guys, today is the 30th anniversary of Nolan Ryan's seventh and final no-hitter for the Texas Rangers.
Wow.
Nobody will ever match that.
Nope.
No, no one will ever match that. You could put in all the top pitchers of today, your Jacob deGroms, your Clayton Kershaws, your Shane Biebers. None of them are going to match Nolan Ryan.
Nope.
But I'll tell you this. What he did at the age of, what, 44, 45 years old to continuously be that good is so amazing.
Indeed.
And you know what? He was on fire in 1991. He was doing Advil commercials. And every night he would pitch for the Texas Rangers. It would be a sellout every night at the old Arlington Stadium. But you know what? You would think, because you have a hot player like Nolan Ryan, that, oh my God, every Texas Rangers game would be a must watch, right?
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem, guys. This night on May 1st, 1991, this game wasn't even carried on local Texas television.
What?
Well, let me explain. The broadcasters of the Texas Rangers at the time was HSE. Now, HSE would eventually go on to become Prime Sports Southwest, which then became Fox Sports Net Southwest, which means it's now Bally Sports Southwest.
Insert your own gambling / pinball / midway joke here.
So, this game was being broadcast live in Canada on the Blue Jays feed on TSN in Canada. But that night, Nolan Ryan was on fire. He had 15 strikeouts, and he had 8 shutout innings. Uh-huh. But he didn't just have 8 shutout innings. Mike, what did he have?
He had a no-hitter going.
Oh, yes. So now there's this dilemma. It's getting to the 10 o'clock news. And so this NBC news station, Channel 5 KXAS, they are like, well, wait a minute. This game isn't being broadcast locally here in Texas. Why don't we swipe the feed from TSN and put it on the air and do an impromptu news broadcast with our anchors doing play-by-play over the game? Well, guys,
that doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, it doesn't sound like a good idea. Guess what, guys?
That ain't it, Chief.
Guess what, guys? We're going to watch it.
Oh, my.
Oh, here we go.
It is the top of the ninth. He is just 2 outs away from his 7th no-hitter.
Now you see they put their graphics on there.
Hear the crowd.
Yeah. No.
Get it Did in. You see the mayor anchors?
No,
like,
is now
no. Get it in. He's calling it like my mom career. Would watch
As I said, the Rangers
broadcast.
Are battling Toronto.
No.
Every time Nolan has been pitching tonight, the crowd is cheering. This is obviously a
that.
Record. I guess he's just breaking his own record
Those fans
right now.
Didn't really expect to go to the ballpark for that tonight. 44
Wait, the fans
ago,
didn't expect it to go to the ballpark? The crowd is sold out,
so
lady. Nolan Ryan is pitching. What do you expect
and Nolan
would happen?
Is 1 out away.
She doesn't know. Don't tell her she doesn't know.
Oh, here's Roberto Alomar.
We're discussing with our producer whether we should stay with it. I don't know how you can leave it right now. This is pretty exciting.
Remember this, folks.
One strike. He's now 2
Remember that,
away.
What he said.
Yeah, they should be talking to legal if you can stay on.
Yeah.
What an amazing man. As you
said, been any talk about it recently.
It's like, they didn't say to do it. They didn't say not to do it.
Nolan said he was ready early, but this is 2 strikes, 1 more strike, and Nolan
okay.
has his 7th no-hitter.
One more strike.
Crowd. This is an exciting way to begin a newscast. Maybe we should say good evening. I'm Randall Carlisle.
I'm Jane McGarry, and as we were just talking a few moments ago, as anybody who lives in this
so
area...
So now the anchors are trying
knows,
to make small talk between
Nolan
pitches.
Nolan Ryan is not only an extraordinary athlete, he's a great person, he's fun to watch because of the kind of person he is.
He loves
okay.
Texas, and he loves throwing strikes.
3-1 pitch.
Did you hear what he said? He loves Texas, and he loves throwing strikes.
Can Nolan get his seventh no-hitter of his career? 15 strikeouts so far tonight as the Rangers are beating
Jesus, what a hell of a game Nolan Ryan has. He's feeling a little
bit of pressure. Yeah.
Even though he's been in it as many years as he has. One more.
Right. 3-2 pitch.
Oh, no. Robbie got a piece of that.
What would be going through
your mind? He had some
right
good
now.
Years for you, got to you, right, Mike? He's
already broken all the he wasn't here that long. No. I want to say he was here maybe 3 years. 99 is when we got him. That was the Carlos Baerga trade. And I think he's only here till maybe 01 or 02.
As you can tell, we originally recorded and released this episode before recent news and events regarding Roberto Alomar. Now back to the game in the broadcast. Yeah, when he...
Outside.
A little bit of English on that ball.
Alright, see, now they put TSN at the bottom.
Say he's on the Texas Rangers. They name a
well, they kind of had to because...
oh, yeah.
That wasn't... Technically, that wasn't the Skylink 5 feed.
No.
Yeah, maybe Legal chimed in and said you had to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll explain why everybody in a bit. Arlington Look at it. Everyone's on their feet.
Excitement is building. One more strike. Can he do it?
Did Scott say what kind of crowd they have tonight? I saw him as he walked out the door.
What? Pop it up. What kind of a crowd they have? Look at the crowd.
It's unplayable.
Wow, how many people do you think are in the crowd?
What is he saying? If I could just get one more.
What is he saying? Get him to swing. What would he be saying right now?
And that would be the ball. Be the ball.
I hope I'm not interrupting the 10 o'clock news.
You gonna do if he gets this?
The 3-2 pitch again.
There it is.
You watched it live right here. Look at Nolan, the seventh no-hitter of his career, and he did it with a strike, his 16th strikeout.
Did it with a strike.
What a thrill.
That's a domino now right there.
All Ranger fans tonight.
What a moment in sports
history. Oh,
we'll
have to be able to bring you that.
Boy, that was fun. As I said, good evening. That was a exciting way to start a newscast. You don't usually get to do that.
It was, and we'll, of course...
Oh, yeah, that is a very unusual way to start.
Not many news anchors are known for being play-by-play people, unless you start as a play-by-play guy.
Oh, those attempts to make small talk. That's terrible. Now, how did this story... Now, I knew this occurred, okay? That I saw this on YouTube like years ago. I thought, oh, that's pretty funny. But okay, the reason this came to my attention was because... Now, remember, recently, in 2021, the Texas Rangers were just no-hit by the San Diego Padres, which, of course, was the Joe Musgrove first ever no-hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres.
Right.
So this came up once again. This is the second time we've mentioned the ticket in Dallas, because we mentioned them in the Crichton Leprechaun episode on Bob Strum's new show, The Hardline. They brought up this incident that occurred. Oh, yeah, I kind of remember how back in 1991, the NBC station in Dallas, for some reason, decided to live simulcast Nolan Ryan's seventh no-hitter with, like, no care in the world. And it's like, how did this happen? Well, they got the sports director of the station at the time, a guy by the name of Terry Briggs. Now, here's what happened, okay? And this was posted on their Ticket's iTunes podcast feed. I'll include the link in the description of the episode. So, the story is... Now, when this was going on, one of the news people, I think it might have been the news director or one of the higher ups at the station said, "Hey, Terry, we're going to air the broadcast when we start tonight with the live feed of Nolan going for the no-hitter." And he's like, "Oh, that's not a good idea. That's stupid. Don't do that." And guess what?
They did it anyway.
And so... He runs into the room yelling at the producer like, "Don't do this. Take this off the air." Because as you notice in the 45-second mark, the male news anchor is like, they're saying take it off. But it's like, I can't see how we can take it off right now. Which, I mean, he's got a point. It's like, You've already done this. You might as well go for it anyway.
You might as well see it to its logical conclusion, whatever that may be.
Yeah, and so Terry Briggs, the sports guy's like, oh, no, no. The longer this airs, it's like, I'm probably going to get fired tomorrow.
I'm going to get called into the office. No. We're going to have a shouting match. I'm going to have to explain myself.
So, what ultimately happened was they had the legal department, everybody from the station. They were because Major League Baseball, when they say no part of this game can be rebroadcast, retransmitted, or anything, they take that seriously. Because, as I mentioned, they literally swiped the TSN feed from the game. They actually took like the feed with no graphics or no audio from the Blue Jays announcers, just like the crowd noise and everything, and put it on the air like, oh, we'll just air it here. No one will care. MLB threatened NBC5 in Dallas saying, yeah, if you don't make this right, we're going to take away all MLB footage from the station for a year. So you will get no Texas Rangers footage on the games for a year. So Terry Briggs, the sports producer, as I mentioned from the NBC station, says on the interview he did, listen, I talked to the news people and the people who were in the room when I was pleading, don't air this footage. They made the case to the higher ups and they were like, okay, we understand. It's not your fault. So you're okay. So they eventually fired the person that made the decision to just go straight ahead and air the game.
Wow.
Yeah. But if you notice, okay, now remember, they have their own graphics on the whole thing. Well, Terry Briggs said to the person who was running the graphics, you know what, if we are swiping this, we might as well just give TSN credit for it. So if you notice, like, in the 2-minute mark,
it switches from the Skylink 5 graphic to the TSN graphic.
Yeah. So there it is. There it is. There's your story. And that's how that broadcast came to be. Something that we did not even know about until recently. What a bizarre set of circumstances regarding this broadcast. Oh, and we also found out that later the male news anchor from the NBC Dallas broadcast turned out to be an alcoholic who drank like 20 to 30 beers a night.
Yikes.
Wade Boggs level drinking, folks.
Wow.
So do we have anything more we have to say about this?
Certainly one of the more interesting news stories I've ever seen.
Mike?
I think the big moral of the story is make sure you have permission.
Make sure you have permission from the office of the commissioner of baseball.
Or at the very least, at least where you're getting the video from. Don't just, I don't want to say hijack, but I'm going to use the word hijack. Don't just hijack TSN's feed. Bizarre all around.
Yeah, to say the very least, right?
Plus also notice nowadays, I'm thinking like ESPN, they don't show anything from the game until like 2 or 3 minutes after the game ends.
Yeah. Yep. Well, nowadays this would never happen, because if this happened today, you would instantly like tune into MLB Network and they would
About to say, yes, you would get like sort of a thing that says Blake is perfect through this many innings.
And MLB Network would do the same on their ticker. Such and such a pitcher has a no hitter through 8 1/3 innings. Yeah.
Oh. So this would not happen in this day and age.
No, it would never happen again. But no. It certainly was a unique moment in television history. Oh, but guys, we're not going to play the music, but we're just going to do an eBay Price is Right for this minisode.
Oh, gee.
Okay. Okay. So, guys, you are bidding on a complete copy of the Super Nintendo Entertainment System game Nolan Ryan's Baseball for Super NES.
Oh, man, I love that game.
And appropriately, this comes from Canada. So here we go. You are bidding on the buy it now price for this game. Complete in box with the instruction manual and Super Nintendo, whatever
that is.
Factory
sealed or nah?
No, it's not. It's open.
Okay.
It's okay, I'll start the bidding with Chico.
If it's not factory sealed, then it's got it's not worth any more than $15.
$15, Mike.
Nah, you see, I thought it'd have a little bit more since it came with the box and the manual. I'll say $19.95.
$35.98.
Okay,
it's not even factory sealed.
Well, it is Canada,
but it is complete though.
It is complete.
True.
That might make a difference if, for some OCD collector. And oh, it's $15.99 to ship.
Gee.
Well, it's remember it's from Canada.
You know, I get that, but still, dang.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. On May 1st, 1991, Nolan Ryan made history.
He also made a thing on TV.
Yep.
Well, and also a TV station in Dallas made history and also made a thing on TV.
Yeah. That's going to do it for this mini-sode, and we'll see you with more stuff.
Wow! I've always dreamed of pitching in the majors, just like Nolan Ryan.
Now pitching Nolan Ryan.
I'm going for a no-hitter with Nolan Ryan's strike zone baseball. You pitch right in your room as the announcer gives the play-by-play.
The pitch! Swing and a miss!
Pitch to the flashing light. Better hit it or the batter will.
It's a line drive to center. Two out.
This guy's pretty tough.
Strike three. That's the ball game.
Nolan Ryan, strike zone baseball. It's like playing in the big leagues.
Better warm up.